Beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And that is certainly true of the story of Bartimaeus, recorded in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. The healing of this blind beggar is intended to encourage sinners of all times and places. Just as Jesus restored sight to this poor wretch, so he is able and willing to open the blind eyes of our souls. Whether Bartimaeus was blind or lost his sight later in life, we are not told. All we read is that when Jesus was leaving Jericho, surrounded by a big crowd, including his disciples, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. Bartimaeus had two problems. He was blind and he was poor. And that was bad, of course, especially in those days when there were no social security or welfare benefits, no pensions of any kind. Bartimaeus was at the mercy of the people, the community. And so all he could do was beg for a living. Well, the picture, this is a picture of misery that is presented to us here in our text. Yet we should realize that what was true of Bartimaeus in a literal and physical sense is true of us in a spiritual sense. Blindness and poverty is our common lot until Jesus visits us in love and grace. And that is what happens here also in this story. Jesus visits poor, blind Bartimaeus and delivers him from his misery. He came, that is, Jesus came at a time when Bartimaeus did not expect it at all. This poor man had been sitting there by the roadside many times already, and nothing had ever happened to help him, to comfort him, to give him some hope. He had no doubt heard of Jesus. By this time, the fame of Jesus and the things that he did in the way of miracles and teaching had spread throughout the country. How interested Bartimaeus must have been in the stories that he heard of Jesus healing the sick, especially the reports of his restoring the eyesight of many blind people, people like himself. And he must have said to himself, oh, that Jesus would also come to Jericho and stop by me. Yes, he was a poor wretch, blind, helpless, hopeless, poor. And let me say again, it was not just his physical blindness that was the problem. There was also a spiritual blindness. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 18, that Paul describes the Gentiles as, quote, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But that was not only true of the Gentiles, but also of the Jews, of all people. It is an accurate description of you and me, because that is what we are, apart from Christ. Well, here is Bartimaeus, physically, but also spiritually blind. There came a day, however, when his desire to meet Jesus was granted in a most surprising and wonderful way. While Bartimaeus was sitting there in his usual spot, alone with his thoughts, he suddenly heard noises. It sounded like a crowd of people were coming towards him. And wondering what this commotion was all about, he asked someone and was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And at once he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And that shows that Bartimaeus had some understanding of who Jesus was, and that he also hoped that he could help him. You could even say there was something in him that we might even describe as faith. Trusting and realizing that he, who was doing so many miracles already, that he could also help him. It was true that every Jew knew that the Messiah they were expecting would be the great Son of David, and that is why he calls him it. Son of David, remember me. And by using that title, Bartimaeus shows that he recognized Jesus of Nazareth as the one God had sent into the world to heal the sick and to open the eyes of the blind, as we read already in Isaiah 35. That was one of the major things that the prophet said Jesus would do, to give healing to the blind. And again, that did not only mean physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. And Bartimaeus now seizes this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity when he says, "Have mercy upon me." What we read here of Bartimaeus should be true of all of us. That is what we should do also. But have we done that? Have we cried for mercy, for deliverance of our spiritual blindness? We've all heard of Jesus. Most likely, well, we may be sure that we know much more about the Christ than Bartimaeus did. You know that Jesus is able and also willing to save sinners. The Bible is full of that information. We've heard that so often as children already, as our boys and girls, as they are taught by their parents, and when they go to Christian schools, when they receive Christian education, when they come to church with their parents, Sunday school, young people, you name it. We know about Jesus. But have we also asked him what Bartimaeus here asks for the removal of that blindness that is in all of us. One thing is true, beloved, all who are saved learn to cry for mercy as poor blind sinners. And when a sinner first realizes his need of Christ and he begins to pray to him, there are usually obstacles in the way. As soon as Bartimaeus cries to Jesus for help, the people surrounding the Savior get annoyed. They are with Jesus in that crowd. They are surrounding the Savior, and those who were close enough, they could hear what he was saying, and they were interested in what he was saying. But now they were distracted by this wretched beggar and his loud voice. And so they said, "Man, keep quiet. Jesus is busy. He has no time for you." But Bartimaeus cannot be silenced that easily. So he says, it says here, he cried the more, a great deal, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Beloved, have you ever seen your need of Jesus? So much so that you have also cried out to him. And then you may remember that if you have come to faith in Christ, you know how difficult that was, or difficulties that it brought. There were so many objections in the way. For instance, Satan is there with his whispering, "Don't bother the Savior. He won't look at you. People like you, he will then not take any notice of. He has better things to do than to listen to sinners like you." And of course, Satan is right. You are a sinner, and you don't deserve any favors from the Lord. And yet where the need is real, and where that need is felt, nothing can stop a seeking soul. "I must have Jesus, or else I will perish." That is what people who are saved and are being saved will say. And that is why they also say what, in essence, this blind man says, "Lord, help me. Save me. Have mercy on me." That is what we should also do. In spite of our unworthiness, in spite of our sins, when we look at the record of our life, past sins, present sins, and our fear of committing future sins, we must cling to the Lord and plead his promises. The promises that he has recorded, or has his servants record in the Holy Scriptures, about the fact that he has come from heaven, that the Father has sent him to seek and to save that which is lost. The promise that whoever comes to him, he will not cast out. That all those who labor and are heavy laden by a burden of their sins and other burdens as well, he says, "I will give you rest." Bartimaeus knew that only Christ could help him. And so he cried as loudly as he could. And he had to be louder than the people who were with Jesus, who were telling him to keep quiet. He had to get Jesus' attention, you see. But sad to say, all his shouting did not seem to do any good. Jesus did not notice him. Jesus did not pay attention to him, for this poor blind beggar. Or so it seemed, anyway. But the people around him said, "He's not listening to you. You're wasting your breath. Keep your mouth shut." How this can discourage someone who has begun to seek Jesus. Some of you know what I mean. You cry, but the Lord does not seem to hear. He does not answer you. Not with one word. And then you start wondering, is my prayer sincere? Am I honest in every way? And do I have the right frame of mind? Are my motives correct? Bartimaeus may well have asked himself the same question. Who was he that the Lord should look at him? But he did not give up. And that shows that his faith and his hope was real. And that shows also that the Lord was working in his heart. We can say this, that Jesus was drawing Bartimaeus to himself. Even though it seemed that he was not even aware of his presence. He did not notice that poor man. That's what it looked like. Even though he seemed not to notice this poor man, but he was aware of him. Oh yes, we can even say it more strongly. Jesus recognized this beggar as one of his people, as one of his elect. All that the Father gives me, he says, shall come to me. Here was one of those whom the Father had given him already in eternity. Bartimaeus, let me say it strongly, Bartimaeus had been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. No, that did not mean that Bartimaeus was aware of that, that he knew that. At this time, he did not say, "I am crying out to the Lord and I'm coming to him because I belong to God's chosen ones." No, that was not on his mind at that point. He cried to Jesus because he needed him. And that is so true also with us. Sometimes we are worried, am I one of God's chosen? How do I know that? Well, the most important thing is that you see your need of him, that you are convinced that he alone can help you. So it was with Bartimaeus. He was convinced that the Lord Jesus was able and willing to restore his eyesight. Maybe I should say it differently. In New Testament times, the people were not so concerned about Jesus' willingness, but about his ability. Is he able to do this? When that leper came to him in the beginning of Mark, you can read about that. Then he went to Jesus, vile as he was, full of leprosy. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He knew Jesus could do it, but was he also willing? And that is throughout the New Testament. So the emphasis is more on the questions that people had about Christ's willingness and about his ability. That was the crucial thing for them. Well, it is not really different with us today. The evidence that we belong to God's elect consists in our realizing that we are sinners, but we come to Christ for salvation. Please, Lord, I know that thou art able to do it, but dost thou also have in thee the desire to save me, the willingness? Our faith may be tried, our faith may be weak, but our faith in Jesus, if it is real, will also be rewarded. Bartimaeus did not get an immediate reply, but the Lord did answer him when it was his time, God's time. We read in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he is calling you. How happy Bartimaeus must have been to hear this comforting statement. Jesus is calling me. He wants to talk with me. And so he put it right into action. The good news that he had heard made him jump up to his feet and to run towards the Savior. He throws off his garment. They had this heavy garment covering from head to toe almost, and that would restrict him in his movement. So he got rid of that overcoat and he runs to Jesus. He obeys that call as fast as possible. But so far, Jesus has not spoken. He has told the disciples or these people there that they should alert him and say that he should come. But then Jesus himself begins to speak also. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? What a question. It was an obvious question. He was blind. He was poor. And so, why did Jesus have to ask that question? Well, he wants to ask that question to make sure that Bartimaeus understood and knew that Jesus was well aware of him and that he was willing to help him. What would you say, congregation, if the same question was put to you? If Jesus would say to you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? Why do you think I have come into this world? What was my mission? What is my mission? And that shows his tremendous love for sinners. And he is not asking one or two of us. No, he wants all of us. He wants to go with the message of hope and salvation to the whole human race. As he said to his disciples before he went back to heaven, you are going to bring the word to every creature, all nations. Here is Bartimaeus, and he has heard that question. What do you want me to do? Well, let me go back to what I said earlier. What would you say if Jesus would ask you? And he does ask you. I can only hope that your answer will be, Lord, I need thee. I need thy salvation. I need deliverance from my sin and from sinning. I need to be delivered from my ignorance, from my blindness, my willful blindness, my serving of the world, my listening to Satan and following his advice. Deliver me from all of that. Deliver me from my future perdition. If I don't change, if things don't change in my life, how can I meet God? Oh, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Yes, congregation, that is the question that the Lord asks of all of us. But it is so important that our answer is the right one. Well, here, this is what Bartimaeus said. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, maybe some of you will ask, was Bartimaeus only concerned about his physical need? The answer is no. It may look like it. He was physically blind, and you may think, well, that's all that he required. No, there was more to it. If you read the rest of this story, then you will see that Bartimaeus had more than a faith in the miracle-working power of Christ. But we read later on that it says he followed Jesus. He went with Jesus to Jerusalem, and that meant he was going to the cross. And so he undoubtedly came to see his need of Christ as Savior from sin as well. The healing of Bartimaeus, therefore, serves us as an illustration of what we all need as sinners, namely the opening of our eyes in a spiritual sense. We need to realize, congregation, that we are blind and poor. And yes, I don't like to say this, but it is true. You unbelievers, you unconverted, you are on your way to hell. Do you understand that the whole purpose of this story of Bartimaeus is to show that you are in desperate need of Christ? You know, to be blind in the New Testament is also explained in terms of a veil coming over us. By nature, we are people who are under a veil. If our gospel is hidden, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he means if it is veiled, that we don't see it, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight, so that I will understand what I need, that I need Jesus, that I need his salvation. We read also in that same letter of Paul that what happens when a sinner is saved and when his blindness is removed. Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose, the main purpose of the Holy Word of God. The Apostle John writes, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." It is important to notice that Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry and helped him. So he will help you also, whoever you may be. If only Christ were still on earth, some of you may say, then I could go to him if I would know where he would live. That's what the disciples experienced when they first came to know Jesus. They followed him, and then Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then he says, "Come with me." And then he entertained them in the house. That must have been wonderful. And some of you may wish that that was still the way it is today. But true, it is true. The Lord Jesus is no longer here on earth physically. But that does not mean that you cannot go to him any longer, anymore. He is still there in heaven, and he is still accessible through prayer. He is everywhere present with his Spirit. He is as close to you as your breath, as your desires and prayers. Only breathe this simple prayer: "Lord Jesus, open my eyes that I may see what a sinner I am and how much I need thee." Congregation, how wonderful is the gospel, that Jesus has made himself available to anyone who needs him. And so he asks also you this morning, "What wilt thou that I should do unto you?" In more English, common English, "What do you want me to do for you?" He's asking you. But you must answer that question. Many people have great needs, but they do not ask, or they do not ask enough. Well, just as I am, poor, wretched, and blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yes, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. And it is only if you have that kind of a prayer, you will also hear the Savior say what he said to Bartimaeus: "Go thy way, thy faith has made you whole." Then it will also be true in your case. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And that is the way of the cross, the way of suffering, the way of hardship, self-denial, affliction, and perhaps even suffering and death. That is what he also told his disciples in the same chapter. We read it this morning. There were these two disciples, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They also had a request. They went to Jesus and they asked, saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And what did Jesus say? Well, the same question that he put to Zacchaeus. He said, "What would ye that I should do for you?" And they did not say what Bartimaeus said: "Have mercy on me." They said, "Grant to us that we may sit one on thy right hand and on the other on the left hand in thy glory." These people were after honor, a nice job in the new world. But weren't they disciples of Jesus? Yes, they were. They loved him, but they were still blind, blind when it came to understanding the real purpose why Jesus came into the world. They were like all the other Jews, really expecting the Messiah to come to deliver them from the Romans, to set up his wonderful new kingdom, and then they would like to have key positions in that kingdom. Isn't it terrible? But that is why Mark records, also by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this what happened to Bartimaeus. In contrast, his very name already said, son of honor. That's what his name Bartimaeus really means. He was not after honor like those disciples with Jesus. He was after salvation, after the forgiveness of his sins, the removal of his spiritual and physical blindness. Congregation, here we see what man is, what even the disciples of Jesus had to learn. And they did learn it later, after the resurrection. But it also is a picture of what happens to God's people even today when they have faith in Christ. Then there are moments when they are completely going the wrong way, when they become proud even of their good works, proud of their accomplishments, and they have to be brought low again and again. That is why Jesus said also, not only to James and John, but that they would have to be humble. He said, you should not lord it over each other. You are ministers, as I am minister, but I came to be ministered unto, and so it should be in your life. Bartimaeus also had a lot to learn, but he was off to a good start. A good start. And if this prayer of Bartimaeus is also found with you, then you will also hear it from the Lord. Go your way. Your faith has made you hope you well. Then it will also be true in your case. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That was the way to Jerusalem, the way to the cross, the way to suffering, the way to hardship, self-denial, affliction, and perhaps even death. And that is also true of us today. If we want to be believers in Christ, we must count on opposition. Opposition from the world. Opposition for sin that still remains in you. Like Paul says, I am carnal, sold under sin. He had to realize that though he loved Christ, there was still in him also that old man, that old nature. But all who follow Christ in his humiliation will also follow him in his exaltation. After the cross comes the crown. Fellow believers, and those of you who have the beginnings of faith, there is a great reward waiting for all those who choose to follow Christ and to forsake the world. They will be richly blessed. The Lord will help you, as he helped Paul, as he helped all the disciples, then and as well as now. Go your way, but let it not be the way of the flesh, the way of faith, the way of trusting Christ, loving the Lord, serving him, and loving also the church, fellow believers, here and wherever they are found. Lord, grant that we may also see our need of that one question, or rather, the question that Jesus puts to you: what do you want me to do for you? Say it then, sinner. Lord Jesus, save me. Remove my blindness. Teach me thy way, O Lord, thy way of truth, and I shall not depart from it.